Oh man, we're busting with little ones here, huh? Is this a good deal or what? Said the robin to the sparrow, I'd really like to know why these anxious human creatures rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I guess that it must be that they have not a father such as cares for you and me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Tonight's sermon is not a repeat of last week, but it is the continuation and the climax of Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew's gospel, there are five teaching sermons by Jesus. The first one is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and the second one is the Sermon on Mission. God is missionary and God is missional. God is all about sending and harvesting the fruit of salvation for his world. And he does it by sending his son, Jesus Christ, who then sends 12 apostles, who then transmit the word orally and written in canonical form, the Old and New Testament, which gets delivered to us in the 21st century. You and me, the little ones, disciples, maybe new in the faith, not necessarily small in stature, or maybe you and me, the righteous ones, yes. Or maybe you and me, the prophets, the Christ bearers, the ones who bear the word of God. Whoever welcomes you who bear my name, my word, Jesus says, they welcome me. And not only me, but the one who sent me. Thank you. You're welcome. Please, it's not just manners. It's about what God has chosen to do apostolically, the apostolic succession, we call it. And it happens right here in the waters of holy baptism, when we are united, Paul says in Romans 6, with the death of Jesus, so that we might also be united with him in a resurrection like his, so that we are day after day after day saying, Jesus, please forgive me all my sins. And then he proclaims absolution in his name upon you, and we say, thank you. That's what the word Eucharist means. Thanksgiving. And Jesus says, you're welcome. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. I've always got the welcome mat out, not just so you can wipe your shoes and the dirt off of your feet, but so that you know that there's a message here for you. The door is open and the light is on. And Jesus always has a room prepared. Fresh towels. What is it that you want to eat? God knows how to welcome his little ones, his righteous ones, his Christ followers, his prophets who bear his holy word. But this missional chapter, Matthew 10, is full of warnings as well as promises. And we know that we will be treated as they have treated the teacher, the master. It is enough, Jesus says, for the student to be like the teacher. It is enough for the slave to be like the master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, Satan, then you know that what they've done to Jesus, they're going to do to his disciples, his little ones, his followers. They will malign them as well. And so Jesus lays it right out. You remember, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the words of Jesus. Matthew 8 and 9 are the works of Jesus. And then chapter 10, how is God going to distribute the words and the works of Jesus? Through the apostolic succession. Through those who proclaim and bear the word of God. The true, pure word of God. That's how God gets the words and works of Jesus out. And at the end of chapter 9, Jesus looks around and he's worried because the fields are white for harvest and there aren't enough laborers. Pray The apostles pray, and then Jesus says, you're the answer to your prayer. Get out there. Get going. Go with my name and in my peace. Oh, and by the way, not everybody's going to welcome you. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to be nice to you. In fact, if you are an authentic Christ follower, you better expect that they're going to slam the door in your face, that they're going to shut the curtains and the drapes, and they're going to pretend like they're not home. What do you do with rejection? Well, shake it off. Shake that dust off of your feet. Move on. Because not only does Jesus promise rejection, he also promises reception, welcome and receiving. Oh, yes, it's going to be hard out there. Make no mistake about that. Jesus says, you're going to be hated by all people, and it's going to be those in your own family that are going to betray you. You will be imprisoned and flogged, and you'll be put to death. Those are the hard facts. But like it or not, we're on a mission from God. And now that we've been immersed into this story, we can't get out of it. We've got work to do. We've got a job to do, and you're going to be hated by all as you bear Christ and his word. So don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal. If they do this to the master of the house and you are members of his household, then what do you expect? But remember this. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father. He's got every single hair of your head numbered. Every one. Remember what I told you last week? How many hairs does the average woman lose every day? 100. Unbelievable. That's why we got to use the Drano and everything, right? That's what somebody told me last week anyway. They said, yeah, I go around this all the time about how we got to use the Drano and stuff. God knows every single hair that falls and every single hair that sprouts. God knows you inside and out, and he's going to protect you and preserve you, even when you are rejected. Because you don't have to be afraid. Don't have to be afraid. Stop being afraid. Remember three times in Matthew 10? You don't have to be afraid, because what's the worst thing somebody in this world can do to you? Destroy your body. Thanks. Go ahead and make my day, right? Clint Eastwood knew what he's talking about. It's just a quick trip to heaven. God is the one whom we have genuine, awesome fear of. He's the one that can control both body and soul in Gehenna and hell. And he's already decided that there is a cup of cold water with your name on it, and a place reserved in heaven with your name on it. So don't be afraid, and there will be welcome. Now, there's one thing that I discovered again this week, and maybe because the women of the congregation, we had a Bible study, and we've been looking at the parables of Jesus on discipleship. And this past week, it was about the sheep and the goats, which is the fifth and final sermon that Jesus had, Matthew 24 and 25, on the end of the world. So a lot of times, people will confuse what happens in Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, with Matthew 10 about welcome and reception. What I want you to hear tonight is they're two sides of the same coin, but they're different. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, as you do it to the least of these, as disciples do it to the least of these out in the world, the homeless, the hungry, the sick that need to be visited, the imprisoned, etc., guess what? You did it to Jesus. And that's the basis of the judgment and the separation of sheep and goats. It's about how we welcome those outside of the church. But in Matthew 10, it's not about how we are welcoming, it's how we are being welcomed. We are ambassadors for Christ, Paul says. God is making his appeal through us to the world. You are God's distribution system. And you will be rejected, but you will also be welcomed. And when you are welcomed, there is going to be a major reward. Now, pause. What do you think about with rewards programs? Anybody here participate in a rewards program? I bet you most of you do. Come on, be honest about it, right? I mean, Costco, we get cash back on that. I just got a credit card, a Visa Southwest one. You know why I got it? 50,000 free miles. That's almost enough probably for two tickets. We can go out and see our grandkids in Hartford, Connecticut. Wow. And then I got an email, and guess what they said? They said, if you send us the names of other people, and if they decide to get one of these Southwest Visa credit cards, you'll get a bonus, Dave, of 5,000 points. I thought, wow, I get like five people that need a credit card, you know? I'm not saying you need one, believe me. But I could get another 25,000 free points. So you know how the rewards work, right? You know, you get cash back, or you get frequent flyer miles, and you get, you get like upgrades in hotels, and you can get all kinds of like discounted merchandise. This past week, I went and picked up a few things at Hy-Vee grocery store. You know, in the ads of Hy-Vee, it'll say, like, if you buy this item, you get 2 cents off a gallon of gas, and on this item, maybe 5 cents. You start to accumulate, and you go, wow, you know, I better buy a lot of stuff so that I can get some discounted gas. You're going to pay way more for the product than what you're ever going to get for a discounted gas. I mean, do the math, folks. But, you know, it starts to spin in your head, right? Because we hear about all these reward system things. And so I looked at it, and I thought, oh, I got 13 cents, and I knew Matt and Jenna were going to be driving here, and he'd need to fill up his truck with gas. And I thought, well, you can get 20 gallons, and if I had like 25, 30 cents accumulated, you know, that could be kind of nice. And I noticed it said on my balance, it says on the bottom of the receipt, 15 cents off on gas. Well, I happened to go in there to pick a few things up from my wife, and when I did that, I thought, oh, here's an item that I was buying anyway, 2 cents off. I thought, okay, if I had, how much did I say I had, 15 cents? So then, yeah, 2 cents, I should have 17 cents? And instead, you know what the bottom of the receipt said? 8 cents. They don't tell you when they expire. You just lose them. What kind of bogus stuff is this? Huh? I mean, at least out in Tacoma, when you got those kind of gas things and those reward things, they'd say, okay, you got to use it by the end of July or you're going to lose them. Right? I thought, what is going on here? That's the problem, right? We hear a word like rewards, and immediately we say, well, I got to do something. I got to earn this. I got to work for this. I'm entitled to this because I bought their products. And then all of a sudden you feel cheated when you find out you don't have 17 cents, but you've got 8 cents? I mean, I was almost going to go into Hy-Vee and say, you know what? This is crap. Seriously, I wouldn't have my collar on at the time, of course. Right? So we hear our text for tonight about this welcome, and whoever welcomes you is going to get a reward, and we think the way the world does, and we think, okay, so this is an incentive program, and I'm going to get something, there's going to be a payback, but I got to do something, right, and this has got to be a major, and then all of a sudden you think, well, yeah, but I could lose this reward, it could get canceled on me, deleted, removed. That's not the way God's reward programs work. I mean, if you listen carefully to our gospel for tonight, and it's so short, at the end of our missional chapter 10, you will discover that Jesus is talking about apostolic succession. It starts with the Father who transmits the Word through the Holy Spirit, through the breathing of God. And it gets into those who are taught, the 12 apostles, and then the larger group of disciples, and those who speak it and preach it, and then it gets written down in the Old and New Testament. That's why, for example, you'll get Paul saying to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is God-breathed, inspired, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the child of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You can trust the written Word of God. And those in apostolic succession, all who have been baptized into the Christian faith and are called to live the life of discipleship every day, we are called not to reinvent the Word of God, not to remodel or refashion it. We are called to protect it, to preserve it, and to proclaim it in its purity. And the reward is that when we preach it, When we preach Christ crucified and risen, the Spirit will open the ears of those who hear, and the word will be welcomed. So when they welcome you as an ambassador of Christ, they get the whole apostolic succession. They eventually get the 12 apostles and their teaching and the one who taught them, Jesus, the rabbi, the only begotten Son of God. And when they get Jesus, when we get Jesus, we get the God and Father of us all. It's a package deal. And God is not going to cancel the rewards or say, well, sorry you didn't use them up in time. God's reward programs is all about God sending his only begotten Son into the world so that whoever believes in Jesus may not perish but may have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through the preaching of Jesus. I remember when I was in Little Falls, and we got some Little Falls people here. I mean, Danny was in one of my confirmation kids and stuff, you know, and his sister, you know, your mother, Kaylee. I mean, I get to watch them grow up and have them for confirmation and stuff. Well, when I was in Little Falls, there's a couple of stories that I remember. And one was Esther Johnson. She was on a Century Farm. It was the month of June. It was over 90 degrees, and I was out making visits, and I was hot. I don't know if I had air conditioning in my car. Maybe that was part of the problem. Anyway, I get to Esther's house, and she has the door wide open. Then she said, come on in. I got the fan going and stuff. She said, you must be hot. It's a warm day. She said, I've got some ice-cold lemonade and some homemade apple pie a la mode with ice cream. And she said, that'll cool you off. And I said, can I please ask for a favor? She said, my house is your house. You're my pastor. She said, what do you need? I said, well, could I please have a washcloth? I said, I'm just so hot and sweaty. And if you've ever been really hot and sweaty, you know what really feels good? Seriously. I mean, so she said, you know where the bathroom is? She said, there's some fresh towels in there and washcloths. I said, you help yourself. My house is your house. You're my pastor. I mean, she always welcomed me like I was the face of Christ. And I went in there, and I got it nice and wet and cold water. And oh, man, did that feel good. And then we had the pie a la mode, and we had the ice-cold lemonade. And then Esther Johnson, she looked at me, and she said, you know, Pastor, when you come to visit, I want you to know that if you're ever tired, we can just sit in the chairs and rock, and you can just close your eyes and rest. We don't need to say anything. She was like my pastor. She was a member of apostolic succession. And when she received me, she knew she was getting Jesus. And I'm not saying this in a haughty, arrogant way, and I don't want you to hear it that way, but that's what Jesus says. That when you receive a little one, a righteous one, a prophet, a Christ bearer, the Word of God enfleshed in God's people, disciples, you get Jesus, and when you get Jesus, you get the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And you get the Father. Our Father, your Father, who has every single hair of your head numbered. The other story I remember from Little Falls was when we found out we were putting a bedroom in the basement for our son Josh, and we had to put an egress window in there, and we found out that there was no insulation in the walls, the exterior walls. It was just paper, like newspaper. We said, oh, that can't be, you know, because they had put new siding before we bought the house. Who would put new siding in a house in Minnesota winters and not check the insulation, right? I mean, that's the time you blow it in. And I said, what are we going to do? He said, well, it'll cost a fortune to remove all the siding, blow it in, then put the siding back on. You might as well buy a new house. And so what ends up happening is that they said, well, we can go ahead and drill holes throughout the inside of your house on all the exterior walls and blow insulation in. And it was a mess. It was the fall of 1995. It was MEA. And so we had a lock-in that we did all the time then. And then I still had to preach on that Sunday. And so Howard and Doris Wagner said, Pastor Dave, you need a place to sleep. And so They invited me to come into their house. We finished the lock-in. It was about 7 in the morning, and I went over to their house, and they had the bed all set and prepared for me. And I slept for about 5 hours, then I got up, and she said, I've got fresh towels in the bathroom there for you, Pastor. And then she said, what would you like, some breakfast food or some lunch food? And what I've learned in light of our text for tonight is, I wasn't the one that received the blessing. They were. Because when someone welcomes a Christ bearer, someone who bears the word of Jesus, they receive Jesus and the one who sent him, the Father. You see how it comes full circle and how chapter 10 of Matthew and chapter 25 complement each other, and we shouldn't confuse it as far as our welcome of others and the world's welcome of us. And welcoming the Word of God and Jesus and the Father all in the same package. So the final question is this for you. How do you know? Because according to Jeremiah, and reread chapters 27 and 28, there's a prophet named Hananiah and a prophet named Jeremiah. And Hananiah says, the word of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. We've got all kinds of preachers in the past and in the present who claim to be preaching the word of God. How are you going to know who's a Hananiah and who's a Jeremiah? Well, at our men's Bible study breakfast this past week, it was Arnie Nelson who said, I was hearing things from the pulpit that I knew was wrong. And so I went to the scriptures and I found out that it was a Hananiah and not a Jeremiah. See if those words come true. In the end, the best thing that we can do to embrace the apostolic witness, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is no other gospel, search the scriptures like the Jews of Berea. Search the scriptures. You're right, Arnie. That's exactly what we need to do. And we need to pray that God would do to today's preachers what he did to Jeremiah, that he would stuff the word in them so that they couldn't do anything but spit it out and proclaim Christ. And when you hear Christ proclaimed, not all kinds of political, social agendas, tolerance, inclusivity, and all that kind of stuff, when you hear Jesus Christ preached, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of your sins, for the redemption of your soul, life everlasting, then you know that the preacher is protecting, preserving, and proclaiming the pure gospel, and not simply reinventing or refashioning or revisioning it with their own opinion and agenda in mind. God has a cup of cold water, and it's got your name on it. And all we can say is, thank you, Jesus. And did you hear that? You heard it, didn't you? That was Jesus. He said, you're welcome. Amen.